Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ontheclock. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, go to audibletrial.com/ontheclock.
Time to get this party started. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the You're on the Clock Football Podcast. That's right, the D-Generation X of football podcasts, where we enjoy when MMA fights break out in an NFL game. Joining me today in studio in the armpit of New Jersey, as always, Iron Mike.
Hello.
Once again, a man of many words. On today's episode, we have a bunch of things to talk about. We're going to debate.
We're going to get right into it.
Right into it.
Yes.
Quarterback situation in Denver. Guy with a blooming onion for a head.
No, we're getting right into it.
Let's get right into it. News out of a New England radio station complaining about Cam Newton's balls, Iron Mike.
Correct.
What they're complaining about is that Cam's giving fans game balls, more specifically young children, which sounds funny.
Yeah.
Cam Newton giving young children his balls. But what the New England radio station is arguing about is because he's giving these balls away to the fans that the refs can't check the PSI levels in the footballs. If any other team was complaining about it, I think I'd be okay with the argument, even though it's still stupid.
I think they're kind of more making light of the situation, New England in general, you know.
Because of the whole Deflategate situation.
Yeah, because of the whole Deflategate situation.
Just a little bit of a light note to start the podcast off before we really dive in and talk some shit.
It's funny.
We're going to jump right into some injuries, news, and notes. Right off the bat, terrible, terrible news coming out of Arizona where the Honey Badger is out for the rest of the season with a torn right ACL. He was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, and that's a huge blow to their defense.
It is. He's all over the field.
I know Bruce Arians had said that they're going to dedicate the rest of the season to Mathau. He's been like the...
Did he die? Why then?
They're acting
Why
like
then?
It. He's been the pulse of their defense, so he's going to be missed. Tight end Crockett Gilmore for the Baltimore Ravens is out for the rest of the season with a back injury. If it wasn't so late in the season, he probably could return, but I guess they're just
shutting him down,
announcing that he's done for the year. Running back for the Buffalo Bills, LeSean McCoy, has a torn MCL. He's likely done for the year. You're going to see a heavy dose of Carlos Williams with a dash of Mike Gillisley.
Correct.
Running back Jonathan Stewart of the Carolina Panthers did not practice today, Tuesday, with a foot injury. His status is still up in the air for Week 16 against the Atlanta Falcons. Bit of news here from Denver. Head coach Gary Kubiak says the starting quarterback position is up in the air, and he's starting from scratch, so he's not ready to announce whether or not Brock Osweiler or Peyton Manning will start Week 16. This brings up an interesting debate because we've been having it for a while now, and that is, if Peyton Manning is healthy, do they revert back to Peyton Manning?
Well, what's their record without Peyton Manning right now?
3-2, I think.
Not great. But they're still in the race for the playoffs in the AFC West with Kansas City creeping up behind them. Everybody was ready to give this to Denver, and now, you know, things are getting serious. But one is Peyton Manning back to practice yet? Or is he going to be going back to practice this week?
He should be back at practice this week.
Then I'd roll with Osweiler if he's ready to go. I don't think that you throw Peyton Manning back into it when he hasn't been on the field in over a month.
All right, so just to put stuff into perspective, 1, 2, 3, 4. In 5 games that Osweiler has played in the 2 losses, he has... 1 touchdown to 1 interception. He didn't have any touchdowns or interceptions against Oakland this past 2 weeks ago, right? That means there's another game.
Yeah. Denver right there and Pittsburgh. You just missed it.
In the game against Pittsburgh, he had 3 touchdowns to 1 interception, 296 yards. He's not playing terrible.
The second half they were.
But in the 3 wins, 4 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. So he has a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio, which is still better than Peyton Manning.
I know, but, you know, was Peyton Manning playing hurt the entire season?
I think what it comes down to, and Brock Osweiler was banged up. He has a little bit of a shoulder injury.
Yep.
So what I think it comes down to is if Brock Osweiler is 100% healthy, then it becomes more of a question. But if there's any question that he might not be 100%, I think they'd rather roll out Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's had a lot of time to heal his injury.
If I was Kubiak, I'd stick with Osweiler with Peyton not having practiced yet over the last 5-6 weeks.
Well, but then you're saying that your tune, you kind of changed the note of your tune because a few weeks ago you were saying that if Manning's healthy, you would have to roll out Manning.
Okay, so Denver plays Cincinnati Monday night. Okay,
gives them an extra day.
You get an extra day to make the decision. All right, that's a game pretty much for the number 2 seed in the AFC for the playoffs. If you roll out Manning and he plays like dog shit, you could pretty much kiss that first round bye goodbye. If you roll out Osweiler and you guys win a game, then Denver has the opportunity next week to kind of throw Manning out there in a low pressure situation.
Denver can't clinch a first round bye this week. But Cincinnati
can help.
Cincinnati can clinch if they win or tie Denver.
Yeah.
So Denver still has to win, but there is a scenario where they can be out of the contention for the first round bye this week.
And I think if they play Manning, that's the situation that occurs.
I agree. All right. Colts head coach Chuck Pagano asked about Matt Hasselbeck, said, quote, "He's beat up from the feet up." Indianapolis is playing at Miami this week. That could be a problem. We don't know what's going on with Andrew Luck. They might not play him for the rest of the year. That would mean that Charlie Whitehurst would be their quarterback.
If Matt Hasselbeck doesn't play.
Right. Running back TJ Yeldon out of Jacksonville is questionable with a knee injury. I also saw that Denard Robinson was a little banged up, but he should play. If you're in a fantasy football championship, you're going to want to avoid both of these guys.
Yes, if you have both of them.
If you're playing against me and Iron Mike and you have both of them.
Yeldon and Robinson. You might want to pick somebody else up.
Cough, Dean, cough, cough. Anyway, wide receiver Danny Amendola of the New England Patriots might have a sprained knee, but he should be okay for the playoffs. Don't plan on using him if you have him.
If I had Danny Amendola, he's cut by Wednesday morning off of my
absolutely,
fantasy teams.
Absolutely.
For being a dick.
Good news for the New England Patriots. Sources are saying there is a good chance that Edelman will play week 17, not week 16, but they want him to have at least 1 week under his belt coming back from his injury before the playoffs start.
I guess get him out there onto the field week 17 and then
let him loosen himself up a little bit.
They'll have the first round bye. And then right. That way, you know,
Take some bumps and bruises and then rest himself during the bye week and then be ready for the next round of the playoffs.
Otherwise, he's not playing for another 3 weeks.
There is a piece of news that we did forget to write down, and that is that Steven Jackson has been signed by the New England Patriots to help bolster their run offense. Without playing a single snap this entire season, Steven Jackson has made the playoffs for the first time in his 12-year NFL career.
It's because he spent most of his time at the Rams.
Yeah. What was it? Last year was his first year with, or second year with Atlanta.
Yep, think so.
Congratulations to Steven Jackson, the all-time leader in rushing yards in Rams history. Drew Brees is in a walking boot. He is supposed to have an MRI on his right foot today, so keep an eye out on that.
Yep.
This one?
Yep.
Quarterback Marcus Mariota of the Tennessee Titans will likely sit the rest of the season with a sprained MCL. There are some rumors circulating that he could just sit this week and he might be available for the closer in week 17. But, I mean, if they were smart, they would probably just shut him down.
Yeah, but you don't want to shut him down and throw him in the IR because then he can't practice.
Well, yeah, but you're not – I wouldn't play him.
I wouldn't play him either.
You know,
you want him to be around the team and be able to practice.
Absolutely, but running the risk of playing him runs the risk that he further injures his knee, which would run the risk that he might not be ready for the beginning of next season.
Correct.
The next bit of news that we have, Chargers running back Melvin Gordon has cartilage damage in his knee. He got knee surgery. He's shut down for the rest of the year, which brings us to an interesting point. The San Diego Chargers could quite possibly have played their last game at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego with two teams being expected to move into a new L.A.
Stadium.
San Diego is one of those teams that's heavily in the mix. So, like we said, this could be the last time that they play in San Diego.
It was pretty cool what they did after the game. They all went into the locker room, got out of their football gear, and then came back out onto the field and signed a bunch of autographs with the fans.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Philip Rivers signed the contract extension he did because he was pretty upset that they might not be playing in San Diego.
Well, that would mean he'd have to pack up all 19 of his kids and go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. And all of his, what are those ties called? The bowler ties, I think they're called? Something like that.
No fucking clue what you're talking about.
He's a terrible dresser. Where are we at now? Don't look at me like that. Where are we at?
Next, we're going to say Charles Woodson.
Oh, one of the best safeties in NFL history.
Oh, he played defensive back at first.
Yeah, he played corner.
Yep.
Said he will retire after his final game in O.co Coliseum.
At the end of the season.
Well, next.
No, next, this week is week 16.
Oh, yeah, and then he has an away game. But
the season doesn't end after fantasy.
Week 16 will be Charles Woodson's last game in O.co. One of the better defensive backs in NFL history. I think he's one of two or three players ever to win a Heisman, Defensive Player of the Year, or Defensive or Offensive Player of the Year, an NFL MVP, and a Super Bowl, and a national championship.
Yeah, one of the reasons he said he made the announcement now rather than later on in the year was because of the chance that Oakland doesn't play in Oakland next year. And right. He wanted his fans to be able to come out and see him.
He wanted for the last time. Exactly. It's a smart thing to do because he'll help pack out the stadium for their last game at home.
I don't know about pack it out, but they'll sell a few extra tickets.
And Iron Mike did note towards this could be the last game played in O.co as well because Oakland is another team rumored to be moving to L.A.
Yeah, I think it'll end up being San Diego. Yeah.
There is a third team with an outside chance, and that would be the St. Louis Rams, who closed out their regular season last regular season home game with a win against Tampa Bay on Thursday night in a big way, too. Defense played very well. Aaron Donald had a monster game. Not going to talk about that too much. What we are going to talk about right now is Odell Beckham versus Josh Norman. It's the news that everybody's talking about. A lot of things happened on the field. Apparently, before the game, there was a Panthers practice squad player walking around with a black baseball bat and taunting towards Odell Beckham, making gestures towards him. And apparently, there's another report that there were being homophobic slurs sent his way during warm-ups, which quote-unquote made him feel uncomfortable and got him in a certain type of mood, defensive type of mood.
Going back to the baseball bats, that's something that reportedly had been something they've been doing for the past couple of weeks because the Panthers are home run type, you know, they have home run type
right,
plays.
They're saying that the gesture was to have the bats on the sidelines to
pump up their own team.
Exactly, yeah, to say, like, you know, we are a home run hitting team. We make these big plays. We hit them out of the park.
Yeah.
They said that it had nothing to do with Odell Beckham and that they weren't gesturing towards him at all. There's some video circulating, and there was a report that the NFL Films crew actually has video of specific Panthers practice squad guys or whoever it was with the bats gesturing towards Beckham during warm-ups.
Which we'll probably never see.
You might. They might do a whole thing on this.
I don't think they will.
Anyway.
I think it'll all be washed and pushed under the rug.
Beckham has been suspended one game. He's appealing his suspension tomorrow, and a decision could be made by Thursday. He's gonna get suspended. He's gonna get fined.
You know what, though? You never know, because look at what the Sunday night game is this weekend. Giants at Minnesota.
If the NFL doesn't suspend him, they set a precedent for every person to ever fight on the field to not get suspended.
I agree 100%. I agree.
And the thing that gets me is people are talking about the fight. They're talking about the fight. But the reason why Beckham was suspended was because he took a cheap shot at Norman.
Yes. Not for all the other mishaps.
Right, because you just get flagged and fined for that.
Yeah.
What the specific play, Beckham went upfield to try to block Norman, and it looked like he was trying to rip his head off.
He didn't try and block him. The play was over.
No. This is before the play was over. He went at him, and it looked like he was going to go at him just to try to rip his head off. Norman kind of hit him with an ole and then went to go make a play at the pile. Beckham then turned around, ran full speed, launched himself, and led with his helmet, targeting Norman's helmet. Now, not only is this illegal in the NFL, there's a rule that states you can't launch and you can't lead with your head, but it also states that...
The play was over.
Right. Not only that, but if you do lead with your head and launch, you're automatically ejected for the game, and you're probably going to get suspended for another game. In college, if you do that, you're automatically kicked out of the game and suspended for one game, no question asked, and you could be suspended for the entire year. Same thing in high school. It's not the first time in this season that a cheap shot like that has been taken, and it wasn't the first time this week that a cheap shot like that hasn't been
taken. It's the first time by an offensive player, though.
No, there was an offensive lineman. I forget what game it was, but he tried cleaning a pile. I think it was Denver-Pittsburgh this week. Where there was a pile and he tried cleaning a defensive guy off the pile. He got flagged for that, and he'll be suspended.
Beckham did it first.
You're right.
Boom.
Now, the other interesting part to this is Josh Norman could be fined for fighting and for actually grabbing an official and removing him from a pile. There is a rule in the rule book that says players are not allowed to touch NFL refs, and that the fine could be up to $29,000 or $28,000 if he is... if it is found to be, upheld. Another interesting part to this...
Which, if it was going to happen, it should have already happened by when we're recording right now at 1 o'clock on Tuesday.
Exactly.
And it didn't.
But another interesting part to this is that Josh Norman got into a fight with Cam Newton in training camp. Not that we're saying that Josh Norman's a bad guy. I think because he hasn't had this kind of on the field issue with any other player yet this year, and he's gone against elite type players, Dez Bryant, and Dez Bryant's the kind of guy who will go at you, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and he has Julio again this week. But the fact that he's never had any type of disciplinary action taken kind of shows me that this leans more towards, and I'm not saying that anybody's right or wrong in this, but as much as people are saying that Norman got in Odell's head, I think Odell got in Norman's head too. And I will note that...
Yeah, but I think that was the game plan going in for the Carolina Panthers.
Absolutely.
To get inside of Odell's head.
Absolutely.
Because he's been picked on all year, and it's getting to him.
Beckham salvaged a game. He wound up with like 6 catches, 70-something yards, and a touchdown. But when Norman was covering him, he had 4 catches for 60 yards and the touchdown, more than any other receiver in the league. So, Beckham put his team in jeopardy.
Yeah.
But the numbers do speak for themselves. And we caught a lot of shit about a video that's been circulating. A couple of weeks ago, somebody asked us if we thought Beckham was the best receiver in the league. And a couple of weeks ago, he wasn't. He was the fourth or best receiver in the league.
Yeah, he put together a nice string of games.
He's still not the best receiver in the league. I still think Antonio Brown is a better receiver than him.
100%.
But he is in the contention for that two or three spot, I would say. 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate because of the way he acted on the field this week. Not only is his team out of playoff contention, but he's going to miss another game. He's going to get suspended. Whether it be this week or next week, he's going to get suspended. And this ties into a question we had in the mailbag from Ray.
Ray TK.
Mike, read the question for us.
Do you think Odell's suspension was justifiable and needed?
Absolutely.
Yes, because like Matt said earlier,
you can't target.
Yeah, you can't do that. And if you let this go, then it's a free-for-all going forward for any other teams. Do you think it should have been handled during the game with the three personal fouls? I'm going to say no.
What I will say is the refs...
Do you think he should have got ejected after that?
Absolutely. I think he should have got ejected after the targeting hit.
I do too.
The personal fouls, the refs have to let stuff like that go because that's going to happen the whole game no matter what.
Yes.
You can't throw a guy out for being physical. Once something like that happens, then action has to be taken because then for the league is so involved in player safety for something like that to happen, action should have been taken.
Yes.
And that just goes back to something that we've been talking about all year, which is terrible officiating.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you remember a few years back when Andre Johnson and Courtland Finnegan went in?
Yeah, they both got ejected.
Ripped each other's heads, helmets off, and started
fighting. Andre Johnson hit a couple of haymakers.
Yeah, and both of those players were immediately ejected and suspended the next game.
Pac-Man Jones got ejected for a similar situation, and he got suspended this year for ripping a player's head off and then smashing his head on
helmet
against
it. Amari Cooper. So as far as the penalties, no, he shouldn't have been ejected. It is what it is. He got flagged for it.
The targeting is what would have got him ejected.
Yeah, he should have been thrown out after launching himself at Norman because that's just not safe. He could have hurt him.
And you could argue that just to be on the safe side, if you're going to eject Beckham, then you eject Norman too because he did react after the fact. You know... If anything,
Norman should have been ejected for touching the officials, not for reacting after the hit.
Well, there's a saying in football, and it's the second guy is always the one that gets caught.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good thing that they caught the targeting penalty, but if Norman reacted, then they kind of have to.
If Norman would have done something similar, he would have got ejected immediately.
Absolutely.
And lastly, Ray wants to know, why can't Giants fans get off his dick and realize he's just a good wide receiver and not the greatest superstar they make him out to be? He's a really good receiver, and he is a superstar.
He's the top echelon talent.
He's putting together, since he came into the league last year, week 8 or 9, a string of games up until this date.
That are only comparable to Randy Moss and Jerry Rice.
Greater numbers than Randy Moss and Jerry Rice.
Right. Where he either has more yards and touchdowns.
Better than Dez Bryant.
Better than Jerry Rice. Better than Randy Moss. Better than Antonio Brown. Better than Julio Jones.
And I think better than Chris Carter, too.
Yes. There's a little thing that has been circulating.
You know,
that.
He's got two Hall of Famers in there, which in his first 15, 16 games or so, that he's got better numbers than.
It's more than 16.
Yeah, well, it's like whatever. 20, around 20 two, games. 23. His first 20 games or whatever. Better than two Hall of Famers. So.
Right. All right, well... That's going to do it for the injuries, news, and notes. Obviously, like we said, there's going to be action taken against both of these guys. You're going to find that out later in the week, probably before the time this podcast gets released.
Yeah.
So that's going to lead us to our mailbag.
So we just talked about nothing for the last 10 minutes.
Pretty much. So we have a few questions for the mailbag. One of the co-hosts for my wrestling podcast, the Outside Interference Wrestling Podcast, Travis Ice-T Curtis, wants to know, who is to blame for the Cowboys' disappointing season? And Iron Mike, I think you're going to take the reins on this one.
Well,
I got you.
I got to find out who they played week 2 because that's who I'm going to blame. Because that is the game when Tony Romo got injured, and it's Philly. I blame Philly for Dallas's awful season this year.
So you're saying that it's because of the Romo injury or because of the Dez Bryant injury?
Because of the Romo injury. Because week 2, they went out there and won without Dez Bryant.
Right. Well,
okay, when Dez Bryant returned without Tony Romo, they were still losing games. as soon as Tony Romo came back, they went out to Miami and they won.
So the other thing I would say, though, is I'm not going to blame a team for injury because that happens all the time.
It does, but if you want to point a finger, point it at Philly.
I'm going to blame it on the fact that they couldn't stay healthy because they lost Romo. They lost Dez Bryant. They lost Randall for a couple of games. They lost guys on the defensive side for a few games, guys like Sean Lee, Randy Gregory. A couple of their defensive backs have been banged up all year. Some of them are banged up right now, if I'm not mistaken, no?
Yeah, but there was a stretch where Dallas' defense was still playing well, and the offense just couldn't move the ball.
Right.
But that's because Tony Romo. Tony Romo is the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. Like I said, I'm not going to put blame on
Philly. How many wins do the Dallas Cowboys have this year? All right, you got the first two when Romo was playing.
Against the Giants and the Eagles.
And then they went on, what, a seven-game losing streak?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And then they won when the Dolphins came back, and then he got hurt against the Panthers, which might not have mattered anyway.
And then they beat the Redskins.
And then they beat the Redskins, which was kind of fluky Monday night game, no?
The one thing I will give them, though, is that the offensive line has stayed pretty healthy throughout the year. They're 10th in the league in rushing yards. But like I said, and I was going to put partial blame on the front office for not bringing back into DeMarco Murray until you see how good of a season McFadden's had. And that's with limited carries while Joe Randall was there.
Yeah.
So I would just say it's more of an injury issue, and that the fact that they're going to get a good draft pick this year might be in favor of them moving forward. So, thanks, Trav, for that question. I think he had another one, too. Let's see what we got.
If Philly doesn't end up making the playoffs, the greatest thing they did this season was take Tony Romo out.
Trav also wants to know if the Panthers are going to play for an undefeated season or if they're going to rest their players. We think that it might be a combination of both. And Mike said, as long as Cam Newton is still on the field, that it really doesn't matter who else they're sitting.
Correct. Cam Newton's that good of a player. He's been doing it all year with Ted Ginn, Devin Funchess, who's been struggling up until late, where he hasn't even been succeeding all that much. But
downtown Philly Brown.
Exactly.
Greg Olsen's been the number one receiver all year.
Yes. And he's not, he's a receiver.
Defense has sustained some injuries, too. Thomas Davis, I think, missed a game or two. Kuechly's missed a few games.
Yep.
Who's the defensive end?
Charles Johnson.
Charles Johnson's missed a bunch of games. Their secondary's been a little bit banged up. But, listen, if it's working and they have the first round bye clinched already, they have the division clinched already, there is going to come a point where they start sitting their guys. Do you agree?
No. I mean, maybe the guys around Cam Newton, but I don't think they bench Cam Newton going into a game, you know? Maybe,
but they might take him out.
They might take him out if they have a big lead, like –
I thought there was going to be a point in the Giants game where they took him out, but then the Giants came back and made it competitive.
If the Giants didn't start coming back when they did, Cam Newton would have been taken out of the game.
I thought by the fourth quarter, Cam would have been out of the game. But you know, the late rally. Another one of my co-hosts, Matt Mendez, wants to know, can the Panthers' success be attributed to their strength of schedule? Meaning, the reason that the Panthers aren't undefeated, can it be attributed to their strength of schedule?
They beat Green Bay, who everybody thinks is a better team in the NFL, which I don't.
Well, all right, so let's just go through real quick. The Jaguars are a 500 team right now. The Texans are a 500 team right now.
Texans are in the lead in the AFC South for what it is.
Are the Jaguars a 500 team?
I think they're one game below.
The Saints are subpar.
Saints are 5-9.
The Buccaneers are 500. The Seahawks are above average.
Yeah. Seahawks are a good team now. They weren't when Carolina played them.
Phillies,
but it was a close
Phillies
game.
Phillies hit or miss.
That came down to the last drive, that Seattle game.
Phillies hit or miss. Indianapolis is one game below 500. The Packers are showing that they could be a problem, and that was arguably one of the better games that they played, 37-29. So it was only one touchdown and a 2-point conversion away.
Yeah.
They played the Titans.
That's another game that came down to the last drive.
Titans and the Redskins. The Redskins are a 500 team. The Cowboys, the Saints again, the Falcons, and the Giants. It's not like they had the easiest schedule in the world.
No, they didn't have an easy schedule.
They're playing
schedule.
Good football. That's really
and
when it comes
you know
down
what?
To.
This goes back to New England years ago where they were going undefeated, and you know, everybody said, oh, well, they have an easy schedule, blah, 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 blah. These teams don't pick out their schedules. They play the schedule as it's given to them, and week to week, everything changes. Players are injured. Teams aren't playing as well. You got to go on the road to the West Coast, something along those lines.
Haven't I been saying that about Denver's defense all year?
Denver's defense just got demolished.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, earlier in the year, you were saying that they were only playing, that they were playing fucking, you know, softballs. Just an argument, whatever.
Denver's defense isn't good.
Suntan Superman Mikey Mendez wants to know, if we were going to start a team, who are the two players that we would want to start off with, one on defense and one on offense?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton would be your pick on offense?
Yep.
I think I'd have to agree with that. He's the youngest player that's playing at an elite level right now.
The Carolina Panthers
aside from Russell Wilson.
Carolina Panthers have the number one rushing offense in the league. Why? Because Cam Newton has the ability to rush when he drops back. He's got 500 rushing yards. There's also design runs.
580 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 rushes of over 20 yards. He's averaging 42 yards per game.
There's design plays in your playbook. You look back at Alfred Morris and RG3, their rookie year. Why did both of them have success? Because they both had the ability to run the ball.
Cam Newton has more rushing attempts to go for first downs than Jonathan Stewart.
Because he has the ability to drop back, look downfield, see if anybody's open. If not, he takes off. Cam Newton, definitely, 100% on offense.
Go to defense.
Defense, it's tough.
I'm not just saying this because I'm a Rams fan, but Aaron Donald is a force on the defensive
line. He is, and anybody that watched last Thursday's game got to see it if they haven't seen him, which I haven't.
He's arguably the most disruptive player on defense right now.
Right now, yeah.
Given that J.J. Watt's a little banged up, and you know he's still having a monstrous season, but yeah. I think Aaron Donald would be a good guy to build your defense around. And he plays 4-3 defensive tackle, but he could play a 3-4 defensive tackle too because he can rush the passer and he's a run stuffer.
You know what? Everybody says that until the guy's actually put into that situation, and then he sucks.
Right.
I mean, defense, you can go with Donald, you can go with Watt, you can go with Kuechly, you can go with a handful of guys, but offensively, Cam Chancellor. I think he's past his days. I think not past his days, but I think that's more of a team effort in Seattle.
Right.
What Seattle was doing early in the year when Chancellor wasn't on the field. Why? Because it's a team effort.
Like let's say it was an expansion draft.
Yeah.
You're going to want young guys to have a core to build your team around. Like the Texans back when they were added to as an expansion team,
mm-hmm.
They took David Carr with their first overall pick. Wound up not, being much, but they took a guy like Tony Boselli at left tackle as their first pick in the supplemental draft, who was a younger left tackle. But that just kind of puts things into perspective where you might not go for talent. You might go for youth with, I guess, projected talent.
Yeah.
So younger guys, that would play a lot more into it. Younger guys who are playing at the highest level.
Yeah. Defensively, it's a toss-up. Offensively, it's definitely Cam Newton.
Do we have any other questions?
No.
Let me see.
No other questions. Let's go right into the picks.
Yep. Go ahead.
Thursday Night Football, San Diego at Oakland. As we noted before, this could be Oakland's last game at O.co. Not really an exciting game, but there's some novelties within the game. You know, Woodson's last game at O.co. These two possibly playing in the same stadium next year. What do you like?
I'm going to take Oakland. I just don't... San Diego played okay last week, but... Charles Woodson's last game in Oakland, I think that the team could rally around it. Khalil Mack's been playing out of his mind, and I think that the Chargers' offensive line is so banged up that he's going to have a ball game.
He could. I'm going to take San Diego. Saturday Night Football. Got another Saturday game. Big game, Washington at Philly. If Washington wins, they can almost pretty much lock up the NFC East, right?
Washington clinches the NFC East with a Washington win or a Washington tie and a New York Giants loss. So if they win, they're in. If they lose, it goes down to next week. If they tie and the Giants lose, they're in. Division games are always tricky here. I'm going to take Washington. DeSean Jackson-Kirk Cousins combo has been pretty good lately. A little bit of a revenge game for DeSean Jackson. And he usually plays well against Philly. And in these big games in prime time, he usually shows up to play. Yeah, I think that's enough to get him over.
I couldn't agree more. I think Washington's going to win. And like you said, DeSean Jackson, he kind of pretty much loves the spotlight. First game of the 1 o'clock is going to be New England at the Jets. Matt?
New England at the Jets.
Yep.
It's a must-win for the Jets, huh?
It is a must-win for the Jets because...
In MetLife?
I don't see that. MetLife is never a home field advantage for the Jets. Maybe for the Giants, but never for the Jets. There's always New England fans, Miami fans, Buffalo fans. Always. I like the Jets only because it's a must-win for them.
All right, I'll take New England.
Only because it's a must-win.
And speaking of the Jets, where are we at? The Jets do not have a scenario where they can clinch a playoff berth this week.
But they got to win.
They do have to win, yeah. If they lose, they're out of the playoffs.
I don't think so. It depends on what...
It depends. There's other scenarios.
It depends on what Kansas City and Pittsburgh
right,
does.
Right, I'm sorry. All right, go ahead. Go to the next
game. Next game is Houston at Tennessee. Almost an irrelevant game except for the fact that with Houston winning and with Indianapolis and or Jacksonville losing? No?
Houston can clinch the AFC South with a win, and then they have the strength of victory tiebreaker over Indianapolis. But they can also win. If they win and Indy loses or tie, then they clinch the AFC South. Or if Houston ties and Indy loses. So if they win, they're in.
Which I think they will.
If they win and Indy loses, they're in.
Yep.
Or if they tie and Indy loses, they're in.
Yeah.
I'm going with Houston here. I think this is a big game for them. Their quarterbacks are a little unhealthy. You don't know.
Brian Hoyer is still going through the concussion protocol.
He might not play. I think Yates tore his ACL.
Yates is done for the year.
That means there is a potential that Brandon Whedon could be starting against Zach Mettenberger.
Yeah.
Who's going to start this week. I just like Houston's roster up and down more.
Yeah, their offense.
The running game hasn't looked terrible recently.
No.
So we're both taking Houston there. Jump to the next one.
Next up is Kansas City hosting the Cleveland Browns.
Kansas City clinches a playoff spot with a Kansas City win and a Jets loss, or a Kansas City win and a Pittsburgh loss. I'm riding the hot hand here. Kansas City's, 8 in a row?
I believe it's 8 in a row, maybe 9. I'm not sure, but they're hot. I like Kansas City as well. Next game is Indianapolis at Miami. I think that Miami helps out the Texans some and puts the Colts down to rest.
If Hasselbeck doesn't play...
Am I boring you?
I'm just tired, man. If Hasselbeck doesn't play, it's going to be huge. I think they really let the reins off of the running offense in Miami this week. Lamar Miller could have a big game. Jay Ajayi could have a big game.
Fuck him, too. I look at this game as a chance for Miami to make a statement and say, you know, listen, we're not as bad as everybody thinks we are. And they have a chance to ruin somebody else's season, and it seems like that's the type of defensive line that they have.
Tannehill really boned me deep in DraftKings this week, so fucking... I'm still taking Miami.
I thought you were going to go somewhere with that.
No, Indy's not a good team.
They're not. Next up is San Fran at Detroit. Kind of an irrelevant game because neither team can make the playoffs.
Right, but after the display that Detroit had on Monday Night Football, I think that they steamroll San Fran.
Real quick, Stafford's wife is under some fire right now. She had bought tickets to the game in New Orleans Monday night and put them on StubHub to resell them. a lot of the fans thought that she had gotten them for free because most of the players get, you know, compensated tickets for their family. So everybody attacked her, and then she threw it right back in their face because her father was sick. Kind of pointless story there, but it's in the news right now.
And then he found $5.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking Detroit. I like the way that they've been able to handle themselves, even without Calvin Johnson being a big difference maker.
Fuck him, too. Taking Detroit. Dallas at Buffalo. Both teams are out of the playoffs, right? I don't think Buffalo can get a wild card.
Not this week, at least.
I don't think next week, either.
Yeah, now Dallas is out of playoff contention, and they're looking towards the first overall pick.
Who do you like?
I like Buffalo because we might have to start Tyrod Taylor. That's pretty much it.
I'm going to say we are starting Tyrod Taylor. So for that reason, I like Buffalo.
By the way, me and Iron Mike are in a championship tournament. We're debating between starting Jameis Winston against Chicago or Tyrod Taylor against Dallas. Shoot us a comment on our Facebook page, You're on the Clock Podcast. Let us know who you think we should start.
And also, Matt, you put up a Twitter poll, right?
I did. I have a Twitter poll up. You could follow me at _Matt_Geiger to see my Twitter poll. And we have a vote for
who we're going to start in our flex, Demaryius Thomas or Martavis Bryant.
Right.
Let us know what you guys think.
Martavis Bryant against Baltimore and Demaryius Thomas against the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, I'm taking Buffalo. Mike's taking Buffalo. Let's jump to the next game.
Next game is Chicago at Tampa Bay. Again, another game with no playoff scenarios. So let's roll right through this one. Who do you like, Matt?
I'm going to take Chicago.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay. Next up is Carolina at Atlanta. Atlanta's out of the playoffs or no? They won last week, so they might still be alive for a wild card if Minnesota loses out, maybe.
There is a scenario where they can make it. They just can't clinch this week.
Okay, so either way, I like Carolina. Wow. 44 votes already, leaning toward Martavis Bryant. Tough decision we're going to have to make. I like Carolina in this one regardless.
Israel Katz at IR7DJ2 says, at Matt Geiger, Baltimore D stinks.
They do. They're one of the worst defenses in the league.
Remind me to shoot him a tweet after this.
Yeah, cool story, bro. Pick the winner.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
We're on Carolina, Atlanta.
I'm taking Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to look like a genius if I make the pick.
Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Who do you like?
You. Well, you heard me before I made the wrong pick. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well. What's going on with Pittsburgh this week? Can they clinch or no? Probably not because...
Pittsburgh clinches a playoff spot if they win and the Jets lose.
All right. And that would eat up one of the two wild card spots.
Making it tougher for the Jets to get in.
Yeah. Next
well, but
up.
Here's the thing. If Kansas City wins and Pittsburgh wins, the Jets are out.
If the Jets lose,
Kansas City and Pittsburgh win, the Jets are out. If one of them loses and the other one wins,
one of the spots will be taken away.
Right, and if all three lose, then it goes down to next week.
Okay.
But I think that could end up also opening the spots for a few more teams if all three teams lose.
Yeah, I think so too. All
right, next game.
Next game is the first of the 4 o'clock games. It's Jacksonville at New Orleans. Jacksonville might have an outside chance at winning the AFC South, but they would need Houston to lose this week at Tennessee. And probably next week. I don't see Houston losing this week. So,
here's the thing. If Jacksonville plays the kind of football that they played last week where they were making a bunch of mistakes, I don't think they stand a chance against New Orleans because I don't think Drew Brees will let them hang in that game.
I don't know if Drew Brees plays.
Oh, damn it. All right, yeah, I'll take Jacksonville.
I'm also going to take Jacksonville.
Isn't New Orleans backup quarterback out for the year?
They might have signed somebody else, but what was it, Luke McCown?
Yeah, let me check that real quick.
I don't know if he's out for the year, but I know he was at one point hurt. He was hurt, and then he came back, and now he's out for the year. All right, well, he's back up. I don't know why we're talking about him. Next game is St. Louis.
That could...
Next game, St. Louis at Seattle. Can Seattle clinch this week? Or did they already clinch? Because
I think Seattle clinched a playoff berth, but they can't win the division.
Correct.
So they're locked into the wild card.
Okay.
The only thing they could do is change
5 or 6 seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Seattle.
I'm gonna take St. Louis and look like a genius.
Nope.
Right. Green Bay at Arizona. Green Bay can clinch the NFC North with a win and a Minnesota loss, or a tie and a Minnesota loss. I honestly don't know if that happens. With Matthew being out, though, it's a possibility.
If Arizona wins this game, they clinch a first-round bye.
I think that feeds the fire at home.
I'm taking Arizona.
I got to take Green Bay to try and catch up to you.
All right.
Sunday Night Football. The Beckhamless Giants at Minnesota. And Minnesota can clinch a playoff spot with a win or a tie, or an Atlanta loss or a tie, and if Seattle wins.
Even if they lose and Seattle wins or ties, they still clinch a playoff spot.
So Minnesota can go and lose to the Giants this Sunday night
and still make
if the Seattle wins and still make the playoffs. That's a funky scenario. That just shows you how bad the NFC is this year.
Yep. Oh God. Yeah, I'm gonna take Minnesota. The Giants' defense is just terrible.
Yeah, and they're most likely gonna be without their superstar wide receiver. Yes, superstar wide receiver. Cincinnati Bengals at Denver on Monday Night Football.
Cincinnati clinches the AFC North with a win or a tie, or a Pittsburgh loss or a tie, and then they can clinch a first-round bye with a win or a tie. So they clinch the AFC North and a first-round bye with a win or a tie this week, but they can still clinch the AFC North if Pittsburgh loses. So
going into the game, they could already know if Pittsburgh loses if they clinch the first round bye.
Right. Now, Denver, on the other hand, clinches the AFC West with a win and a Kansas City loss or a tie, or a Denver tie and a Kansas City loss, but they also could clinch a playoff spot if they win and the Jets lose, or if they win and Pittsburgh loses, or if they tie and the Jets lose, or if they tie and Pittsburgh loses. So a few different things that could guarantee them a playoff spot.
Yes, and in the scenario, if the Broncos, the Jets, the Chiefs, and the Steelers all lose, there would be a four-way tie in the Northwestern Eastern Division, which would result in a sack race.
Yes, and then consecutive potato sack races would be held every Wednesday for 3 weeks until a champion is crowned.
Correct.
Tweet at us. Send us a... comment on Facebook or email us at youronetheclock@gmail.com letting us know what movie that's from, and we'll give you a cool prize. Maybe a beer, maybe some wings. We'll figure it out.
You want to go to Park East League now?
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. We got about 5 minutes left, so we'll talk about that.
This is the first time that Matt and I have done a fantasy team together, and we've been in first place the entire season. And we are now in the championship.
I will say the one thing that I think worked in our favor, there have been times where...
Was our superior knowledge of football?
Yeah, we're fucking geniuses.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that really worked into our favor was while we were drafting, we have very different styles of how we like to shape our teams.
Correct.
So I was at work the night we were drafting. Mike was actually in front of the computer, but... We were able to kind of throw things at each other, talk it out a little bit, figure out, like, for instance, our first round pick, we had a choice between Julio, Demaryius Thomas, and Gronk.
We went with Julio to cock block Jorge.
Right. What I had brought up was if we took Gronk first, Julio wouldn't make his way back around.
Correct.
So I said, grab Julio now and then take the chance and Gronk will be there on the way back. If not, we grabbed Demaryius Thomas. So things like that, we were able to throw back and forth at each other. But we also got lucky with...
Hopkins in the third.
Yeah. We wound up with Chris Ivory and Jonathan Stewart as our everyday backs for the most part. We also had Todd Gurley that we got a little bit later.
We also had Arian Foster, who we got a little bit later.
Yep.
Who ended up getting hurt anyway.
And then we took a flyer on Martavis Bryant late in the draft, and we also took a flyer on Darren McFadden late in the draft.
So we've had a stacked team in a league where there's only four or five bench spots, which is good.
And the other thing I will say is...
we drafted Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater as our quarterbacks.
And we've been playing quarterback Russian roulette ever since.
Yeah.
I think we won a game 1 week where we had 5 points from our quarterback.
Yeah, I think so. But I've always found that it's better to split a team with someone else because there's always two sides of it. You know, there's always two opinions.
Every team that I split with somebody this year, so it was you and two other guys, shout outs to Anthony and Scheller. I made the playoffs in all three leagues, and I'm in the championship in two out of the three.
I think I'm playing you for third place in the other league.
Does third place get money in that league?
The team you're splitting with Scheller.
Yeah.
You guys lost, right? Bucks. Yeah. $100. So you get your money back. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we just kind of wanted to bring that up and, you know, it.
Toot our own horn. Toot, toot.
A little bit. It's pretty cool that, you know, in the first season that, that this league was started, that we ran the tables pretty much the whole year and everybody was talking shit about it. It was actually funny. We were playing
We were 11-2 on the year.
We were playing our good friend Jorge, who's a bartender at the Park Tap and Grill. Make sure you guys go check them out. They're there every Thursday, every Saturday, every Sunday, every Friday. Great food, good times, a ton of beer on tap. But every time I walked through the bar, he was trying to get the entire bar to boo me because we were beating him.
Okay.
We had big games from Jordan Reed this week.
Yeah.
Who else?
Was a good pickup for us.
Tyrod Taylor.
Got to play the waiver wire if you want to win a championship.
Oh, you'll find that out this week. Dean, we're coming for you.
DraftKings.
Yes, let's talk about DraftKings because in...
For the third time this year, right?
I think it's the third time that he might have won cash more than three times, but I think he won three times. Ryan Flagg coming away with another victory in our DraftKings tournament. Somebody's got to dethrone this guy. What was his lineup looking like? Do you know?
I have no idea.
All right, I'll pull it up real quick. But what a way to end the year, man. We got one more tournament left. We're going to do some playoff stuff too, but one more in the regular season.
No, we'll do a week 17 tournament too.
Touche.
Remember, it doesn't end after week 16, Matt.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't know how the hell he did this. Russell Wilson, Tim Hightower, big pickup. David Johnson, 47.9 points. Kamar Aiken, Doug Baldwin, Sammy Watkins, Gronk, Golden Tate, and Cincinnati's defense. Good for 221 points. Notables, Norsup finished in third. Kenny Davis, top 10 finish. That's pretty much it. I finished
20th, I think.
37th.
Better than you.
So keep your eyes open. By the time you're hearing this, the tournament will be open for week 16.
And again, we're going to try and do something big for next year's DraftKings.
Yes, make sure that you're locked in and listening to us every week to keep yourselves updated.
Yep.
I also will say, if you're fans of our show and you're fans of your team, be on the lookout within the next few weeks. We're going to be announcing something big for some of the segments that we have going on during the off season. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. Anything else to add?
I don't think so. As far as fantasy goes this week, same thing as last week. You know, you're starting your studs. Unless you're put in a situation like we are where we might end up benching Demaryius Thomas, who's got... not a really tough matchup, but it's a tough enough matchup to where we can consider starting Martavis Bryant with a great matchup.
Yes. Before we go, we just want to say make sure that you follow us on Twitter at @YouAreOnTheClock. Iron Mike is @Iron_Mike_NJ. I'm _Matt_Geiger. Make sure you're following us on Facebook. It's the You Are on the Clock podcast. We do some unique stuff. We've been having a little bit of videos and some clips put out every week. More importantly, make sure you guys go over to lineupmediagroup.com, who give us a job, and check out the rest of the awesome content they have. Aside from us, they have a bunch of cool stuff. The Let's Get It On podcast with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock. I don't know if you knew this, Mike, but Big John McCarthy called the Conor McGregor fight.
I did know that. I saw a clip.
He actually went
of something.
Went pretty in depth in the podcast about calling the fight and what it was like to be in that atmosphere and
for stuff. 13 seconds.
Yep. We also have the NHL podcast on NHLpodcast.com, Chasing Pucks with Panger. Two former NHL players give their input on a ton of things related to hockey. They had Martin Brodeur on last week.
That's huge.
Huge. So go check that out and listen to all their other stuff. You have Ocho Man. You have Youth Baseball Talk, Not So Fast, Nick of Time, A Toast to Armenia, The Inside Pitch, a ton of cool stuff. We always talk about it. Make sure you go check it out. There's something for everybody on the Lineup Media Group. We want to thank them for allowing us, once again, to talk about football all the time, whenever we want.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Also, we want to thank you guys.
Uh-huh.
The season's almost winding down. We couldn't have done it without you. It's almost a new year, so looking forward into 2016, we hope that you guys will continue to listen and continue to show us some support.
Well, we still got one more show left in the year.
We do. But if you do want to show us some support, make sure you go to ontheclockpodcast.com, click the Amazon link.
Get in that last-minute Christmas shopping.
Yeah, and if you have Prime, you can get your stuff shipped before Christmas.
Which will be irrelevant, because by the time this comes out, it'll be Christmas Eve.
Oh, well, but thanks, do it thanks anyway. For breaking down the fourth wall.
But do it anyway.
Do it anyway. Listen, it doesn't cost you guys anything, but it gives us a little bit of a kickback. It helps us pay some of the bills. It helps us keep the podcast running smooth. We might be able to get some new equipment.
Yep. Even after the holiday season, you can continue to use our link to shop when you need something.
Absolutely.
You don't have to get in your car and go anywhere.
Anytime we're upgrading our equipment or we're looking to make any purchases, we're using it, so make sure you guys are too. I know a bunch of people have been, and we thank you, but make sure you keep doing it. That's going to do it for us here today at the You're on the Clock podcast. For Iron Mike, my name is Matt Geiger. Tune in next week when we actually eat a blooming onion instead of calling a guy one.
This has been You're on the Clock with Matt Geiger. You can find the show online at ontheclockpodcast.com and download and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Plus, join the conversation on social media at facebook.com/youreontheclock or at You're on the Clock on Twitter. Get all of the Lineup Media Group shows at lineupmediagroup.com.